Good morning, everybody. Hope everyone's doing okay today. Thank you for joining us there in your living room or wherever you may be watching. And we are going to open the Word of God again this morning and continue our study in the book of Genesis. And we're going to be looking at mostly the entire chapter of Genesis 10 today. And we're going to be looking at a portion of Scripture that we see throughout the Bible occur many times, and that is through genealogies. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. Hopefully you got the email and did some reading already to cover chapter 10, because we're not going to look at verse by verse through Genesis 10, but we will be hitting some of the highlights today. But first, just as a reminder of why we're studying Genesis and the first 11 chapters, and that is because we want to see the greatness and the closeness of God as we go through this first book of the Bible. And now you may think, how are we going to see the greatness and closeness of God in looking at genealogies, a list of names, some of which are hard to even pronounce? How are we going to see God's goodness and his greatness or his closeness during chapter 10, which we'll be focusing on today? So hopefully we'll answer that question as we go through the Scriptures and consider why it's important that we have these genealogies in the Scriptures. But first, let's begin with a word of prayer this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the opportunity to open your Word this morning. And our prayer today is that we will see the value and the importance of every single verse in the Bible. Today is a hard text to some degree, so I pray, Father, that your Spirit will teach us as we look at this genealogy here in Genesis 10. So Lord, as we're gathered around this video, speak the truth of your word to us, that we can grow in faith and become more and more like Jesus. In his name I pray, amen. Now we're going to open up the Bible, and we're actually going to begin with the last two verses of Genesis 9, where we finished off last week. And I've covered this before, but just as a reminder, because we're looking at the last two verses of Genesis 9, and then we're moving into the entire chapter of Genesis 10. But one of the reasons we're doing this is just to remind you that, you know, the Bible was not divided into chapters until 1227 A.D. So, and then over the next couple hundred years, verses were added as well. And not the verses, but as far as the breakdown of where the verses would happen. And so the chapters and verses are not a part of the original text. And so when Moses was writing Genesis, he didn't write chapter 1, verse 1. He just wrote it like it would be a long story or a letter. And so so when we're looking today at Genesis 9, at the tail end of it, and moving to chapter 10, it just continued to flow that way even as it was written. But the chapters and verses, it wasn't a sin to insert them into the Scripture, even though they're not God-breathed or ordained by God. It just helps as a reference for us. It helps us to find what we're looking for a lot quicker because it is divided into chapters and verses. And Genesis is a long book. We have 50 chapters of Genesis. And so if you can imagine, if I were to tell you this morning, okay, guys, flip into probably the first 20% of the book. That's where we're going to be, somewhere in that area. It would take a while before all of us would find exactly what we were looking for. And so having it broken down into chapters and verses makes it a lot easier for us. So we're going to pick up today where we stopped off last week, which was verse 27. And we're going to pick up with the last two verses of Genesis 9 today. And this, again, this is how it was originally written. It just continued to flow this way. But let's begin. After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. All the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. These are the generations of the sons of Noah: Shem, Ham, and Japheth, which we spent a lot of time on last week. Sons were born to them after the flood. Now, these are the first three verses of our text, and every single sentence, every single word of the Scriptures are important. They are God-breathed, and the Bible reminds us of that. It says all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, thinking about this verse for a minute, this means Genesis 10, which hopefully you have read, Genesis 10, where we have all these names, names after names after names. If this is true, if this verse in 2 Timothy is true, then that means this genealogy, all these lists of names, are somehow profitable for me, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So therefore, this chapter in Genesis is designed by God to complete us, to equip us for every good work. Now, the Bible does not say that all scripture, except for those that are hard to pronounce, like genealogies, is breathed out by God. Now, there's not an exception here about the genealogies being exempt from God's word being profitable to us. So that means what we are looking at today, even though it, you know, some may say, well, this is boring, or some may say, I don't get why this is even important. But the Bible says that it is. The Bible says the genealogies are important. They're God-breathed. And so so this isn't about having an exemption in your Bible reading or the importance of God's word. And today I want us to answer, because at surface glance, it seems like, well, this is just kind of insignificant. This, you know, I don't run to Genesis 10 when I'm struggling with grief, or I'm struggling with doubt, or where I want some encouraging word. I really don't run to Genesis 10 because it doesn't minister to me on a day-to-day basis. Well, I get that. There are some verses that tend to impact us a lot more. But that doesn't mean that these verses aren't important. It doesn't mean that they're not God-breathed, because I want us to see today why they are important. Yeah, true. Your life verse is probably not going to be found in Genesis 10. But it doesn't mean it's not important. We're going to see that in scriptures today as we open up the Word of God. And so and your Bible may have it listed as a table of nations. A lot of times chapter 10 can be labeled that way, because this is where we see the nations develop out of Genesis 10. But it's still a genealogy. It's still a list of names, descendants here, a lineage of Noah and his three sons, and where all these three sons ended up as far as their grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and what it eventually led to. And we're going to see that today as we open up the Word and consider why are scriptures important. And because if you look here, this is Genesis 10, and this is it condensed. I don't know how well you can read it from where you're sitting, but we have a ton of names in here, and every single one is important. Again, because scripture is God-breathed. And so we're looking here, and a lot of times you see a passage like this, and you go, what in the world? How does this impact my life? Well, that's what we're going to see today, why genealogies in the scriptures are important, because that's where we are today. That's what we're looking at, Genesis chapter 10. And so we have Noah's sons, his three sons, and then a lot of other people mentioned. And a lot of these names are even hard to pronounce, and you probably read through it. You probably figured that out pretty quickly. And so, but let me give you some reasons today why chapters that we have like we have today in our text, why they're important. The first off is because genealogies prove that God's word is accurate and reliable in prophecy. See, the Bible, when the Bible predicts a future event and we look back at the scriptures, if it was not to happen, then we would say, well, the Bible's not reliable. But the Bible is reliable, because we can follow prophecies even through genealogies, which we see. And we're going to look at that today. Genealogies help us see that the Bible is accurate. For instance, when we read Genesis 22, and let me just get me off the screen here just for a second so we can see that. When we look at Genesis 22 here, and the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this, have not withheld your only son, referring to the sacrifice or the potential sacrifice of Isaac, I will surely bless you and will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And so Paul, this phrase here, referring to the earth being blessed, is because of a descendant of Abraham. And the Apostle Paul speaks about that. We see that in Galatians 3 here. Now, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, plural, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. So Abraham's descendants here So Abraham's descendants, there's, of all his descendants, there is one whom the entire earth is blessed, and that is through Jesus Christ. That is the descendant that he is talking about, that Paul is speaking to. He's saying, of all the descendants, this is the one. He's not talking about plural. He's talking about the one descendant, because this is, we see this trace through the lineage of genealogies here, that Jesus was a descendant of Abraham, and we can follow that in the scriptures. Now, if we look at Noah, who obviously came from Adam, just like we all came from Noah, we all came from Adam. When you look at one of the sons of Noah, which we touched on last week, which was Shem, and we can trace his descendants all the way to Jesus because of genealogies. And so here we see the lineage of Shem. Now, for those children who still may not understand what a genealogy or a family tree, this is what a family tree looks like, where you have you start with someone, in this case Shem, and then you see his sons, and then his son's sons, and then his grandson's sons, and it just keeps going on until you run out of people. So here we see, and this is taken from Genesis 10 as well as 11. So Genesis 10 takes us all the way down to Peleg. I don't know if you see my mouse there, but that guy right there in the middle, that's where Genesis 10 takes us to, but then Genesis 11 picks up and then continues down all the way to Abraham, which is further down, of course. And so, but here's what we see in the lineage here. Look at all these names. This is taken just out of Luke 3, okay? Here's what we see out of Luke 3 in the New Testament. We see a bigger lineage that starts with Jesus and goes all the way to Adam. Now, that's a lot of people, a lot of years, a lot of hundreds of years, and so thousands of years, actually. So we see Jesus here at the top, in the top corner, in red, and here's some pretty big names that we recognize. We see King David there, sort of in the middle. We see Abraham. We see Shem, and then we see Shem's father, Noah, and then it goes all the way to Adam. And so we see this here. This is a genealogy. So we can take from the genealogy, we can go, hey, you know what? Yeah, we all know Adam and Noah, everybody descended from them. But then we see that Shem had a descendant named Abraham, who had a descendant named David, who had a descendant named Jesus. And so we see the completion of the genealogy from Adam all the way to Jesus. And in that is Shem, Noah, which we're kind of parking it here today regarding their lineage. And so, but I want us to see here that the Bible proves itself to be accurate over and over again. We see that in the scriptures here. That's one reason that genealogies are important. It helps prove the accuracy of the scripture. Now, second reason is because people and families are valuable to God. Genealogies are important because God works through people. He works through families. And nothing is more valuable to God than people. And he sent his son to die for people. He came to save people. He has prepared heaven for people, where God wants to be with us and so spend eternity with him. So because people and families are valuable to God, we see that in genealogies. Now, we're the most valuable of all his creation. And the Bible tells us that. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. So even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. And so the scriptures are reminding us, even the animals who are beautiful creations of God, and many of those animals we love and we are captivated by their beauty, and some we even have as pets, God says, hey, you're more valuable than they are. Because families, people are more important to God. We're more valuable than anything else that he created. And as you look through this list of names of these people, many of them, we don't know much about them other than who they're related to. We don't know their stories. We don't know anything else about them other than their name here is mentioned in a line of descendants. And even though their story may not be listed in the Bible and we may not know anything else about them, their story is still important. Their life was still valuable to God. They were made in the image of God. And they had a life. They had a childhood. They had parents and memories just like we do. Because all people are important, including you. You are important to God. And so today there may be somebody who's watching today who feels like insignificant, like, well, I'm just sort of a nobody. I'm under everybody's radar. And I can tell you this, you're made in the image of God and you're not under his radar. You're front and center, and God's big enough to do that with everyone. And so you are important to God. And these genealogies remind us that even these people that we don't know anything about, they were important to God. Now, you may not be as popular as King David is or was, and you may have a sibling who's, you know, funnier or smarter than you are, or that type of thing. And so you may not seem from your perspective that you are that valuable, but let me tell you, you are. God says so. He says, you're more valuable than sparrows. You're more valuable than anything else I have created. And so you are important. And God's words remind us of that. He sent his son to be sacrificed so that he could be with you. Now, no one's ever given you a gift like that except for God. That's how important to God that you are. What greater gift to be given? And sure, you may not be famous like King David. You might just be more like a Lud. You're like, well, what is a Lud? Well, that was the fourth son of Shem, which we know was a descendant of Noah. But when you read this chapter, you probably didn't even remember his name by the time you were done with the end of the chapter. So you might be more like a Lud. That might be how your life is. Yeah, people know your name, but they don't know anything else about you. But that doesn't mean that you're not important. It doesn't mean that you're not valuable to God. It doesn't mean that you weren't created in his image. So most of us, to be honest, most of us are probably going to have a Lud kind of life. I mean, we're not going to be written in the history books, and we're not going to be, obviously, we're not going to be in the scriptures. But, you know, there's not going to be a lot of people that remember us outside of those who we spent time with while we were here. We're not famous. We're not popular in the world's eyes. We're not on TV. We're you know, not written in books. We're probably going to have that Lud kind of life to a degree. Just doing our thing, living our life, and then after we're done, we're done. But it doesn't mean that we're not important. It just means that maybe we weren't world famous or popular. But it does mean that we are important. Especially to the people that God has placed us in, and the families he has placed us in, the relationships that we have, and this little corner of the world where we live, we're impacting people whether we see it or not. And I imagine Lud had some stories about his grandfather. I imagine he had some stories about his own dad. He was important. So most of us are probably going to have a Lud kind of life. Here's the third reason that genealogies are important. That's because the gospel is for all people groups. Now, here's another illustration that I want us to see here regarding the scriptures and the descendants here. We're looking here at the genealogy of Noah. And we looked last week at how these sons dispersed, and from these sons all the nations came. And so here's sort of a breakdown of how it seems that most of them. Now, I realize today we can have people in Europe marry people in Africa. People in China, you know, can marry people from Africa. It just, I know we can call, especially if travel and things like that, we can have a lot of mixed descendants. I get that. But this is pretty much how it started from the beginning and where it looks like. And this is going to be a little bit important to us as we get a little further down into the genealogy study today. Because, so you see, God loves all people groups. And here we have the sons of Noah and most likely where they were to settle and the descendants that came from that. All the nations came from these three boys. These three boys gave us the world in a sense. And so we see all the diversity from the earth in these people groups. And so, now for those younger kids who may go, hey, where's the American? Well, we could be from Europe descent. And so, so we're looking here at all the races, all the nationalities that descended from these. There are no unimportant people groups here. Our God came to save people from every tribe and nation, not just the Jewish people, but for everyone. And the Bible tells us that God so loved the world, and he there's not anyone that was left out of that. And someday when we get to heaven, we're gonna see people
from all groups, all nations that have descended from Shem, Ham, and Japheth, those whom Christ came to save. Everybody is important. And there's, you know, these people here, just as a reference, all these people here, you don't know any of these people. I don't know any of these people. They're pretty much living a LUD kind of life. Now, the people they're around, they're very important to. But I don't know them. They haven't impacted my life. But it doesn't mean they're not important. And most of the world is made of people who have a name like LUD, in a sense. They're going to impact the environment and the people that they're around for their life. And so when we look and get to heaven, we're going to find a lot of people like this that were from different nations and different people groups. They all came from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In fact, the Bible says, and Jesus said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Well, that's what we just saw, all those nations. And so these different people groups. And so we see this in the scripture here. So from the sons of Noah, this is where all those nations came. Every single person that has ever lived or will ever live needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every single one. Every single one. And so people groups are important to God. He came to save all people from all nationalities, from all over the earth. And he's called us to proclaim the gospel to all nations. Now, here's a fourth reason that genealogies are important. It's because it reminds us that God uses imperfect people and messed up people to bring about his purposes. So, you know, last week we read about Ham and how he dishonored Noah. And so God still used Ham to bring about his purposes. God doesn't waste people. Even people who hate him, even people who are wicked, God can somehow use those to bring glory to himself. And that doesn't mean that everybody gets to go to heaven because you still have to trust in Christ. You still have to repent of your sins and follow Jesus. But it doesn't mean people who don't do that aren't used by God. He has the human race and somehow every single person brings him glory in some way. It accomplishes his purpose, even the wicked. So when you examine the lineage of Jesus, and this is where it really helps if you feel kind of beat up and that you're just kind of living that LUD life and it's not that important or whatever, or maybe you've got a very sinful past and you're very ashamed because maybe it was very public or whatever. But here's the thing. When we look at the lineage of Jesus, we come across some people who have a lot of baggage. And, you know, King David's pretty popular and pretty famous. We all recognize his name. But he also was a murderer and adulterer. But look what God did in King David's life. See, as long as you're still alive, God can use you. And your sin is not greater than Jesus and his love for you. Your sin does not have victory over Jesus. Jesus' love has victory over your sin. His sacrifice gives us victory over sin. And so if you look at the lineage here of Jesus, the genealogy, there are some people in that line of Jesus that, you know, they did not have a very moral past. They would live a life that we would see as sinful and even embarrassing. In fact, a quick glance here of Matthew in the genealogy there that we see, the first six verses, we see Abraham, we see his name and there in verse 2, and then later in verse 5, we see Rahab, and we see these two people who are both in the lineage of Jesus out of Matthew 1. And so here's what I want us to see. They had completely two different stories. We have the genealogy of the Messiah, and in this genealogy of the Messiah, we have Abraham and Rahab. Here's how opposite they were. Obviously, Abraham was a man, and Rahab was a woman. Now, what that's so significant is because in biblical times, women were viewed very far less than a man was viewed. And so here she is mentioned in Jesus' lineage. Also, Abraham was a Jew from the line of Shem, and Rahab was a Gentile. Specifically, she was a Canaanite, which was Ham's son, which we saw also mentioned last week. And then, so she married into Shem's family. That's why we see her name. And then Abraham was called the father of Israel. Rahab was originally outside of Israel. She was not a part of the lineage. She was, again, from the line of Ham, but she married into the family. And then Abraham was a patriarch. He's the head honcho, in a sense, when it comes to Israel. He's the one that everybody looked back to. Rahab, on the other hand, was a prostitute. So as a believer, your past does not define you. And you may think that you're insignificant and have too many failures, but consider this. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, his great, 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 great grandmother down the lineage was an outcast by the world standards. Jesus's lineage, he had a great, 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 great grandmother down the line who was a prostitute, a Canaanite. And God used her and even made sure she was included in the lineage of Jesus. So how blessed we are that we have a God who has a history of taking no names, of taking people like a Lud, or taking sinful people and using them to bring glory to his name. And we see that demonstrated in the genealogies that he has included in his word. And do you realize that the people that we're reading about, when we read about Lud, or we even read about Rahab or Abraham here, you know, these people, when they were following the Lord, they had no idea that people would still be talking about them thousands and thousands of years later. They had no idea. And so think about that for a moment. But God has made sure that we don't forget them, because God has taken these people in their sin, in their faith, and in their obedience and in their disobedience to bring glory to himself, which is a great thought for us, that we know that God's going to use us for his glory. The thing for us, though, is we want to be in our allegiance to him. Yeah, God can use even the wicked for his glory, but we want to be in allegiance to him. We want to be followers of Jesus. And even though we may not, history may not ever repeat our name again, the people that we have been around, we're going to leave a legacy with them. They're going to remember our name. And so we want to make sure that while we're here in this short journey on earth, with just a few people, considering the world's population, the few people that we engage with in our lifetime, we want to make sure that we leave a legacy that's godly, that's Christ-like. Now, I do want to, in our study here, I do want to sidetrack just for a moment, because if you read through Genesis 10, you might have noticed something that we touched on last week, and it really wasn't the same for this week. And that is that when we look at the generations here of the sons of Noah, this is how chapter 10, well, you notice there in verse 1, it says Shem, Ham, and Japheth, which we looked at last week. Every time you see those three together, they're always mentioned that way. But that's not the birth order. That's the biblical order. Because we looked at last week, the birth order was Japheth, Shem, and Ham. But today, look how it's mentioned. Now, they're all three not lumped together, but they are three all in the same chapter. We see first the sons of Japheth, and then Ham, and then Shem, which is a new order. We haven't seen that order yet. And so, and again, Japheth is the older, Ham's the younger, and Shem is the one from which Jesus' lineage comes from. And so you think, well, why are they different here in chapter 10? Why would there be a reason that they're put in this order, unlike any other order that we've seen before? So, well, let me try to explain that to you today. When we see the sons of Japheth, what we have to realize here is that Japheth was the oldest, and this is the one that probably most of us descended from, because, and you'll understand this here in just a moment. He's given four verses. There's four verses that speak of Japheth and his descendants. He has, in chapter 10, he is the one who has the least description concerning his lineage, just these four verses. And so here's the thing regarding, and this is probably where most Europeans came from, which is why he's related to us in a sense, but regarding his relationship with the Israelites, regarding Japheth's relationship with the descendants of Shem, he's the one who probably had the very least interaction with them. He was further away physically, most likely, based on our understanding of nations. And so as far as a people group, back in Acts 1, when Jesus said about being witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, to all the ends of the earth, well, the people who descended from Japheth, they're probably more the ends of the earth kind of people. They had the least contact with the Israelites. So when Jesus says, and go to the ends of the earth, that's most likely all the descendants of Japheth. And so when you look at biblical history. Now with Ham, as far as his interaction with the descendants of Shem, the Hebrew people, he not only had the most interaction compared to Japheth, but in many cases he was their enemy. And remember, the Israelites would later become slaves in Egypt and would have to take over later the land of Canaan. And both Egypt and Canaan were descendants of Ham. In fact, 15 verses are dedicated to Ham's lineage here in our text. So compared to Japheth, which only had 4 verses, Ham's family was in, with their 15 verses, they were in Shem's family space all the time. They were always interacting with them. Constant contact, it seems, throughout the biblical history between the descendants of Shem and the descendants of Ham. And then, of course, the last one there are the sons of Shem. Now, we've said many times it's the Messiah, Jesus, came from Shem's family. Israel, the Hebrew people, are all descendants of Noah's second oldest son. So of the 3 sons, Shem was the most prominent. His family would be the one from which the Messiah come. And now, and if you read chapter 10, you go, well, wait a minute. If we're just kind of looking at descriptions here, 4 verses for Japheth and 15 verses describing Ham, but there's only 10 for Shem. You think he was the most popular or the most prominent, excuse me. He was the most prominent of all the sons. Why does he only have 10 verses and we have Ham with 15 verses? Now, again, just as a consideration, you have to realize something. Shem's descendants, if you turn the page in your Bible, you will see that there's a ton of verses about Shem in chapter 11 and his descendants. And here's the overriding truth of all of this, and that is that the remainder of the Bible is about the descendant of Shem, Jesus Christ. So really, when you're looking at 4 verses for Japheth and 15 verses for Ham, and you think, wow, you think Shem would have a lot more. Well, he does. Pretty much the rest of the Bible, when we look at this, is somehow focused on Jesus Christ. And so we see that in the scriptures here. The descendant of Shem, Jesus Christ, which Paul talked about already. This is the offspring of Abraham that he's talking about. And Jesus is the most important human in human history. Which brings us to the final reason why genealogies are so important, is because it is through the story of genealogies that we see our salvation, which is Jesus. And we have to remember that Jesus didn't just show up out of nowhere in Bethlehem. He had a family. He had a family lineage. He was 100% man. He was 100% God. He was from Adam and Eve, just like we are. He was a descendant of Noah, just like we are. Jesus had a family. He had a lineage. He had aunts and uncles and grandparents and cousins. He was like us. And yet it was in Jesus Christ we have our salvation. And the Bible shows us from which family Jesus came from with all the prophecies from the Old Testament. So we don't take these genealogies lightly. We do not take these passages of scripture where it talks about fathers and sons and sons and sons and sons forever and ever, it seems like, as you're reading through these genealogies. We don't take them lightly. These names are not insignificant. We may not know them and not know their story, and they may not impact our life personally, but they're significant because they have everything to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I realize that on your day-to-day needs, genealogies aren't life-changing, but here's the thing. Without the prophetic genealogy of Jesus, our lives would have never been changed. And that's an important truth to remember. So when you're reading and you're going through your Bible reading and you come across a genealogy, I pray that you look at it completely in a different way from now on. See it as how God brought our Savior into the world through families. He brought Jesus into the world through families. God just didn't plop down out of, Jesus didn't plop down out of nowhere in Bethlehem, and all of a sudden he was the Messiah. No, God orchestrated for the Messiah to come through families. And never forget also that our salvation back in Genesis 3 came with a promise. And it became fulfilled in Christ Jesus through the history of families. And so we see that in the scriptures. Because without these lineages, without these genealogies, these families here, we have no salvation because there would be no Messiah. And this is the gospel story that we see woven throughout the scriptures, and we see it displayed in genealogies. So here's what we need to consider in light of understanding genealogies. Here's what we need to consider. What's the legacy that we're leaving? Because even though these names don't personally mean something to us because we never knew them, we didn't know them in their lifetime. But here's the thing. There are going to be people who know us in our lifetime, and we're going to leave a legacy with them. So what will be your legacy to your family? Think about that just for a moment. The people, the sons and the grandsons, or the daughters and the granddaughters, or even the great-granddaughters that maybe know you in your lifetime. What's going to be your legacy? Sure, people 100 years from now can maybe read about your name in a genealogy, but they're not going to know you. But what about the people who know you? What about the people that have spent time with you, the family that you have been born into, the people that your brothers and your sisters? How would those people remember you? Moms, dads, what are your kids and grandkids going to say about you? Will they say, oh, yes, he was faithful? Or will they say, well, he was grumpy? Think about that just for a moment. Will you be known as gentle or harsh? Will you be known as someone who really loved Jesus or someone who just attended church? Will you be known as someone who was opinionated? Or will you be known as someone who loved to speak the truth in love? Will you be known as a proclaimer of the gospel or someone who was just kind of quiet when he came to spiritual things? Think about this. What's going to be your legacy? Most of us, we're going to just impact a very small group of people. We're not going to be like the sons of Noah, where nations, you know, follow behind us. But we still have an impact, and that impact will be eternal. One most likely that we'll never, ever realize this side of heaven. So let's purpose in our hearts today to leave a legacy of faithfulness and of gentleness, of speaking the truth in love, of being proclaimers of the gospel, and to be known as a man or woman or a young person who loves Jesus and loves others. That's so important for us. That needs to be our legacy. Let each one of us today begin to think about our future lineage, the genealogy that's going to happen with our life. The people that are tied to us, they're going to know us. They're going to remember us, but how? But may they remember us as being completely committed to Christ, because our life will affect future generations. Whether you believe it or not, whether you think you're just a lug and under the radar, you're still going to affect future generations. And the devil's going to try to deceive you into thinking you won't. It turns into a life of selfishness and pity and things like that. You're going to leave a legacy. Do it for the glory and the kingdom of God. Because future generations will be impacted by your life. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that we can come to you this morning and Lord, just learn about people that we some will see in heaven someday, Lord. And Father, that you have used these people for your glory, even if we read about it in genealogies and don't know anything else about them other than their name. And Father, today all of us have a name. And some are more well-known than others. But, Father, I just pray that we never take lightly the value of the life that you've given to us, the fact that we are created in the image of God, and that we will leave a legacy for others. Now, Lord, what that legacy is determined by us and our commitment to you. So I pray that we would walk faithful as men and women of God, take seriously the legacy that we will be leaving behind. May we be committed followers of Christ. In his name, amen. Thanks again for being with us this morning, and I hope you guys all have a blessed Lord's Day. Take care.